Are you ready for the word today? How about the rest of y'all? Y'all came for the coffee? Come on, you're ready for the word today. Let's go. Come on, I ain't preached in 4 weeks. You got to be ready. Let's go. Turn to, that was awkward too. Turn to John chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation for a couple of verses, and we're going to jump to the New King James Version, and then we're going back to the New Living Translation, and I'll explain that here in just a moment. John 5, we've been in a series called The Stories of Summer. Is that what it's called? Or Summer of Stories? I can never, oh yeah, Stories of Summer. Our staff has gotten it mixed up every time we've said it. Stories of Summer. And I want to share a really great story with you today. John 5 and 1. And Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. And inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda. Everybody say Bethesda. With five covered porches and crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on these porches. Now, in several translations, verse 4 is omitted, but if you look at it in the original, you go to the King James Version, the New King James Version, verse 4 is there. So if you're reading in a translation other than New King James or King James, you may not have verse 4. I want to bring it on the screen for you to see. An angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Verse 5. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Everybody said that's a long time. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked them, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. First of all, Summer of Stories, I love that Jesus showed up at the pool, right? How many are with him right away? I'm here. I'm in. If you're going to the pool, I'm going with you. And the first question he asked this guy, now look, I don't know why. The Bible tells us that there were a crowd of sick people, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, everywhere, crowds of sick people. Now, some scriptures will tell us that Jesus, there are moments that he was moved with compassion and he healed everybody. I don't know why he didn't do that this time. The Bible doesn't tell us that. It says that he picked this one guy out. How many, when you get to heaven, you're going to have some questions for Jesus? Why did you bless him? Why did you do that for them? Why did you heal that? I don't know. I don't understand it, but I do know that Jesus picked out this one guy, and when he walks up to him, his first question is the most important question. He didn't say, "Do you believe I'm the Messiah?" He didn't say, "Have you heard of my teachings?" He said, "Do you want to get well?" That is the only question that you and I have to answer. Do you want to get well? Look at me. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you want to get better? Because if you can't answer that question yes, then let's leave and go to Loveless and get some fried chicken, okay? Or Cracker Barrel. They have great fried chicken, by the way, okay? Let's go. I mean, I'm spending my time this week praying and doing message prep, about 20 hours probably this week that I put into this message. And if you don't want to get better, then we're both wasting our time. So I have a question for you. Do you want to get well? Thank you. How about the rest of y'all? Because I'm serious. Let's go. Let's quit. Let's shut this whole thing down. Turn it back into a movie theater. If we don't want to get better, that's the question that you and I have to answer. Because here's what I found. If you want to do it, you're going to do it. There was somebody that said, "We're going to the moon." Right? And we went, if you believe, we went to the moon. Think about that. Someone said, "We're going to do this." The human will, if you make up your mind that you want to do it, you're going to do it. And so I want to ask you this question, the same question I used to counsel people. I don't counsel people anymore. I thought that was my calling. It's not my calling. I get too frustrated. I have too much ADD, and I just doze off when people are talking to me about their problems. I'm sorry. I just... Did you not listen to the message last week? That's what I want to say. I don't counsel anymore. We have Dr. Rick Underwood that does all that for us. I'm thankful for him. But when I used to counsel couples, I learned to ask two questions if they were having marital problems. One, do you love each other? That's number one. Number two, are you willing to do the hard work to make this work? Because I learned the hard way. I met with a young couple, my wife and I did. And we were at Green Hills, I'll never forget. We were at the Green Hills Whole Foods. There's a little area up top. You ever been up there? You sneak up there, you know, like nobody really knows you're up there. We were sitting with them, and they were talking about, he was talking about their marriage. And so I just looked at both of them and I said, okay, all right. Do y'all love each other? He goes, yes. I look at her and she goes, no. And I literally heard his heart break. It just snapped. And that was it. And so I learned to ask that question first. Because if you don't love each other and you're not willing to work it out, then what are we doing here? It's the same thing with you and I. My wife learned something from her therapist years ago, and I love it. Her therapist told Kristen, said, take the word should and could out of your vocabulary and use the word want. Instead of saying, I should do that, I need to do that, take those out and put the word want. Because if you'll say, instead of saying, I should work out, right? I should eat better. I should be a better husband. What if you said, I want to? Because if you can change that word, then things change. So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to live healed, whole, and free? Do you want to have an abundant life? That's the question. And I'm waiting for an answer. Yes. You thought it was rhetorical. No, I want to know. Do you? And if so, then y'all, we can do some great stuff together. Come on, those of you watching online, those out in the overflow. By the way, how about our second campus in the overflow? Isn't that great out there? Thank our team for that. God bless y'all. So he says, do you want to get well? And this guy starts with one of three questions, one of three statements. And the first thing he says is, I can't. The one who can is asking you, do you want to? And his reply is, I can't. I want to ask you this question today. How much can't is in your vocabulary? How much, I can't do that. Everybody else can, but I can't. Most of the time, I can't really means I don't want to. Yesterday, I played golf on Friday. That's my golf day. And I was playing with some of my buddies yesterday, and it was just so slow. Come on, how many golfers I got in the room? And it was 500 degrees, you know. By the way, Thursday, Nashville was the hottest place in America. Y'all, we beat Death Valley. I don't know if that's anything to cheer for, but it was, and yesterday was a close second. It was so hot. And the group in front of us were so slow. I was losing my mind. Come on! Let's go! Well, the ranger, he's the guy that drives around and tells you to hurry up. He comes back to us and he goes, hey, just want you to know why things are slow. The guy in this foursome in front of you is celebrating his 91st birthday today. And I felt so bad for yelling at him. And then it got worse. And they said, the reason he's playing slow, I'm like, other than him being 91, is yesterday he broke his rib playing tennis. He's playing at 105 degrees with a broken rib. Why? I want to. That's why. He got up that morning, and instead of saying, I'm 91, I can't. I broke a rib. I can't. He got up and said, nah, I want to. This guy had been in this predicament for 38 years, the Bible tells us that. 38 years. We don't know how many times the angel stirred the water. I'm not sure if that was once a year, once a month. I don't know how often that was. But I know this, that at least 38 times he missed out on his miracle. So I'm not judging him. But I found that sometimes when you've been in a situation for a season, that there are times it just feels better to just stay that way. This mat is pretty comfortable. I've learned how to live life in this state. It's not that bad. It can make it. And yet, the one who sends the angels to stir the water is standing in front of you asking you, do you want to get well? And I feel the same thing for someone today, that he is standing here looking at some of you saying, do you want to get better? And what he doesn't want to hear you say is, I can't. Matter of fact, what he wants is this urgent. What he wants is when he just says, do yes. Just get the D out, right? Just as soon as he says do, yes, whatever you're asking me, that's what I want. How about we turn our can't into I can? Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, I believe you can. I believe you. How many of you believe what they just said to you? Come on, I believe you can. How about this? I want them to bring this on the screen because I want you to see the difference. What if we changed I want into I want? Instead of I won't do that, I want to do that. This is what I want. This is what I desire. Write this down. Your mindset determines your miracle. Your mindset determines your miracle. Yes. Are you ready? Yes. Change that mindset. The second thing he says, first of all, he says, I can't. Secondly, he says, no one will help me. How much of your personal progress is predicated on someone else? How much are you putting on someone else that's impacting you? How much influence do they have in your life? Quote, they, end quote. How much influence if they would just apologize? If they would just stop? If they would include me? If they would approve of me? If they would validate? If they. Who is the they in your life? When you wake up in the morning, who is the they that you're thinking about? Some of you, it's family. Some of you, it's coworkers. For some of us, it's neighbors or classmates. Who are the they in your life that influences you and what you do? What if we just removed the they? I don't mean literally, okay? There's a couple that I would like to remove, just being straight up honest with you. But what if we just took the they out and instead of focusing on them, we focused on him? And instead of comparing myself to them and looking at my behind the scenes while I'm scrolling through their highlight reel, the thing that they posted with all the lighting perfect and the color perfect, right? And I'm looking at me. How many have ever, you open your phone up and you get that reverse and you're like, oh, God, help me. And it's always here. She's got like 17 chins. Nobody looks good from there, ever, okay? But I'm comparing myself to what looks so great in their life. And nobody has everything going on. Third thing he says. First of all, he says, I can't. Then he says, no one will help me. And then he says, someone always gets there before me. I can't. No one will help me. And someone always gets there before me. Man, doesn't that sound like our culture right now? Just this victim mentality. They get there before me. Listen, I'm not saying that you're not a victim, okay? I understand. Especially after what we've walked through with Kristen. I am not saying that you're not victimized, but I am saying that you don't have to live the rest of your life as a victim.
Amen. I'm going to amen myself on that.
Marley, it's not fair what happened to you. It's not fair what happened to you guys. It's tragic. But I look at this girl with the hands lifted. I look at mom and sis just worshiping. You know what that is? Yeah, it's been traumatic. It's been hard. But I'm not going to live my life as a victim. I'm so proud of y'all. You're my heroes. I want to be like you. I'm talking to others of you watching me online. Yes, something terrible happened to you. And yes, I'd love to put my hands around his throat for what he did to you. I love that. But I'm encouraging you to stand up. Encouraging you to take a step forward. Don't live your life on a mat that he wants you to get up from. Do I sound mean? Kristen's not here to tell me. I want you to hear this today. Hear me. Hear me. I just think it's time for someone to stand up and say it. Everybody's thinking, stop blaming everything on someone else. Just stop it. We've all had it. It's all been hard. We've all had a rough 2 years, okay? It's been hell. It's been tough. And I'm looking at some of you that have gone through things that no one should ever have to go through. And I'm sorry for that, but I also want to remind you that we're also living in the greatest time humanity has ever known. Do you know what we can do today? 100 years ago, there was no such thing as photography. There was no such thing as a battery. There was no telephone. There was no Coca-Cola. Come on, how many could use just a good cold Coca-Cola right now? 100 years ago, there was no such thing. 50 years ago, the first microprocessor was invented, which allowed us to go from having to have a warehouse to keep our computer in, to put your computer in your pocket. I remember my dad was so excited when he got his brand new updated computer that had 32 megs of memory. He was so fired up about it. Do y'all know 32 megs? You can't send a GIF for that, right? And how many remember the floppy drives and the hard drives? And now it's just in our pocket with gigs and gigs and trigabytes or something. I don't know. What is it called? 50 years ago, that didn't happen. Listen to this. 25 years ago, the World Wide Web was invented. You do know that's what WWW stands for. Did you know that? How many did not know that? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. I see you kids. Right now, you're like, that's unbelievable. I'm telling you, you don't get that kind of depth at other churches. You got to be right here to get that. Listen, can you imagine our life without the internet? How would we do what we do? I remember it. Matter of fact, I remember, and Robin may be watching. Robin still was our youth pastor in Austin. Now he pastors a great church in San Marcos, Texas. I'm one of the overseers of that church. And I remember bringing Robin into my office. I said, Robin, I need you to come in. And he sat down. I think he may have thought he was in trouble. And I said, I need you to explain to me the difference in a website and an email address. I couldn't understand it. He said, well, you got to look at the internet as the city, and then you got to look at the internet as the state of Texas, and then you got to look at the website as like Austin, and then you got to look at your email address as your home address. Got it. I had to have someone explain that to me. That was 25 years ago. 15 years ago, a little bird named Twitter showed up. I remember when you texted Twitter. There was no app. You actually sent
a message to, how many remember that? It was a text message. 12 years ago, Instagram emerged. 11 years ago, Snapchat appeared and then disappeared in 10 seconds. Unless you screenshot it and then it's there forever. 6 years ago, TikTok danced into your kids' lives. That has all happened that fast. Technology. We are living in the greatest time for humanity. You're sick? We got medicine for that. Need a doctor? Which one do you want to go to? Do you understand that where we are? We have been so blessed with so many things, and yet with everything that we still have, we still are saying, I can't. Someone gets there before me. Come on, let's shake some of that off of us, okay? We can do anything that God has called us to do. You can go to any school you want to go. You can do anything you want to do. It's all at your fingertips. There is nothing that you can't do if you really want to. Let's get back to our story. If you remember, the man before his miracle said, I can't, no one will help me, someone gets there before me. He's like, I'm laying here, I can't move, the water's troubled, and some kid with acne jumps in and gets healed. The guy with halitosis gets taken care of, and I can't. It's bad breath, sweetheart. That's what halitosis means. Again, just stuff you don't get at other churches, right? You just got to be right here. Can you imagine the bitterness that this guy had to deal with? That someone's always getting there before me? I got to be honest with you. I'm actually surprised that Jesus healed him. Can you imagine being Jesus, walking past all the other crowd of sick people to the one guy, and you say, you want to get well? I can't. No one will help me. I got to be honest with you. I'd have left him right then. Gone. Raise your hand if you would have well. I'm done. No, Bubba. You got one chance. And he gives Jesus three negative. I wouldn't have any patience for it. Okay? But aren't you glad that Jesus has more grace than John? Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus has more grace than you? Aren't you glad that he doesn't move on? That Jesus was able to see beyond his negativity. He was able to look beyond his lack of faith. And he does the same thing for you. He does the same thing for me. See, Bethesda means this, the house of grace. How many like that? The house, say it with me, the house of grace. When we say that, it sounds beautiful, doesn't it? But in reality, this was not a compliment. When they talked about Bethesda, they were saying, that's where the people who need grace are. That's where the invalids live. That's where those people are. That's the homeless, the hopeless, the orphans, the widows. Bethesda would be the place that you and I would avoid. Don't go through that part of town. That's where the people who need grace live. They're all there because they're weak and they're injured. And they're always begging. Don't look over there. You see, instead of a place of grace, it was really a place of disgrace. It was where you went when there was no more hope for you. But I believe that this is exactly what the church is supposed to look like. Yeah. A space where the disgraceful can find a place full of grace. I want you to look around you right now. Come on, do it. Look around. Doesn't everybody look good? Don't they look pretty? Most people smell good. But as you looked around, what you saw was broken people. What you saw was crippled people. What you saw were people that are in need of help. We dress up nice. We drive our nice SUVs. make sure our kids get a good education, and we do all the stuff because that's what you're supposed to do. And yet every single person in this room is broken and beat up. And this is a place of grace. I love what Jesus does, though. He does what he always does. He shows up to a place and makes it better. He shows up to this place of disgrace and in one action turns it into a place of grace. Instead of a place where don't go there, avoid that. Now, Bethesda is a place that you can put on your tour map. Bethesda is a place that you want to go to. Why? Because that's where Jesus did that thing there. That's what I'm believing for today. Is that in this room full of people that are limping and that are hurt, and some of you are tortured, tormented souls. I'm believing today that you're going to have a moment with Jesus that turns your place of disgrace into a place of grace. This is what he wants to do in your life. This is what he can do in your life. I want to remind you of this. God is still a healer. Come on, I don't know what kind of background you came from. I don't really care because you're here now, all right? I want to tell you, God is still a healer. How many believe that? He's still a healer. Hebrews tells us this, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he does not change. So if God was a healer, he is still a healer. God was a redeemer, he is still redeeming. He didn't just save you one time and that's it. He is a continual saver. He is a restorer. He will always be a restorer. Listen to this. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. So that means this. If he was the author, he's still the author and he's not done writing. If he was the finisher, he is still the finisher and he's not finished with you yet. So I want to ask you, do you want to get well? Do you? Do you want to get better? Do you want to live in more abundance and more freedom and more healing? Do you? Yeah. I do. Maybe next week. I've learned I should never say what I'm going to do next week because sometimes I have no idea. And then I promised it and then I feel like a dummy for not doing it. But hopefully next week, I'm going to continue on with this story. We'll talk about the next step that this gentleman took. And then we'll read another passage of scripture where Jesus told another man to take up your mat and walk. Could it be, though, that in our scripture, it says it. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly, the man was healed. But what if he'd have never gotten up? Could it be that he could have been healed and didn't know it? Because he never got up. He didn't step out on faith. What is your yes today? One of our culture points here at the Hills is next steps. You'll hear us talk about this all the time. Just help people make a step. We're not trying to get you to the pearly gates today. I want to help you make a step. So what is that step for you today? What is that yes? For some of you, your yes is a no. You saying yes to him is saying no to something else. Or maybe to someone else. I'm gonna make that commitment. What is your next step today? Would you close your eyes for just a moment? I want you to take a moment and I just want you to think about that. What is the Holy Spirit urging you to do, prompting you to do today? Thank you, Jesus. All right, I want you to look at me. Those of you online, those of you out in our overflow, I want you to lean in with me. The Holy Spirit is really pulling for someone today. I felt that all week long. I felt it just deep in my heart that as I was doing message prep and praying, I didn't sleep at all last night. And the Holy Spirit was just pulling on me. There's somebody that God is really coming after today. He's trying to draw you in. Come on, let's go. Let's do this. What are you waiting on? Say yes. You can do this. Pastor John, you don't know what I've done. Oh, but he does, and he's still pulling for you. I've tried. I've tried over and over and over, and I can't. Yeah, do it again. Come on. Let's do this thing. We're with you. You're not going to have to do it by yourself. Come on, how many will be with them today? Raise your hands. I'm with you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm with you. You need me, I'm with you. Do y'all know each other? It's kind of awkward. Y'all have sat the whole time and haven't introduced each other. But if she needed you, you'd be there, right? Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm with you. Come on, we got this. We got this. You don't have to do this by yourself. We got this. We got this. Let's stand. Man, aren't you glad you came to church today? We got a lot accomplished in 40-something minutes. Ain't that amazing? I'm not a great preacher, but I don't preach long. That helps. Thank you, Jesus. Man, do y'all love this song? Isn't that a great song? Where are the girls? Are they here, the ladies? Y'all come out here. We may sing that for a little bit. Would that be okay if we sang that a little bit more? Okay. I want to lead you in a prayer today. I want you to make a commitment. They're in the lobby, I think. I want you to make a commitment to make them that step today. What is that clear next step for you? And you know, that's what faith is, right? Faith is action. It's not just belief. Faith is, that's when faith becomes real. When I make a step. So I want you to make a commitment today. What is it that the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do? Why don't you make a commitment now that you're going to do it this week? For some of you, it's going to be to ask forgiveness. For some of you, it's going to be to give forgiveness. Some of you need to apologize to your spouse. You were mean to them. Don't nudge them. I'm watching y'all. I see you. So, what is it? What is that next step for you? Some of you show up to the gym. Come on. Amen. For some of you, it's making a commitment to follow after Jesus today. To go all in. Not follow way back here. Going all in. I'm coming after you. The Bible tells us if you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he is the resurrected Savior, that you will be saved. I'm believing today that as we pray this prayer together, that there are many of you that are going to make that commitment. If you're online, those out in the overflow, come on, Hills family, let's pray this prayer. Let's join with them. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I ask for you to forgive me of my sins. Cover me with your grace. I confess that I am no good on my own, and I need your resurrection power in my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to live with you forever, beginning right now, in Jesus' name. Come on, Hills family, let's celebrate with these folks who just prayed that prayer.